T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now, it's Chris Harrington, live on 92.9, discussing the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more. Presented by the Memphis Showboats. Get your tickets now, starting at just $10. Go to usfl.com.
Chris Henry joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
I still love you.
That's, if you can hear me, I'm not hearing you very well, but that's my song, my Johnny Ace, the late, great Johnny Ace, born in Memphis in 1929.
Okay. Chris, they're going to save the Mid-South Coliseum.
We've been trying to do that for a long time. Yeah. I don't know, man.
Did you read the piece? Did you read the piece by the two folks?
I scanned it. I mean, I've heard people make the, Charlie Brown, Lucy football, you know, analogy, or try to make that with the conference right. Stuff the last couple of days. Like the Mid-South Coliseum is like a real version of that. And it feels like, you know, it's just a cycle of like variations on the same idea, and you get new people to make the same arguments. And like, I'm not like someone who's committed to tearing that building down, but I just don't, nothing has ever been persuasive about it to me, you know, in the last 10, 15 years. And so, it feels like more of the same. I mean, good luck to them, but it really feels like they're just, everyone's waiting until, like, you know, there's funding that can come from somewhere else to tear it down and put something new there. And it feels like everybody knows that's the deal at this point.
Yeah, the what was interesting to me was, because the two people who wrote the piece in the Daily Memphis, you can read it over there, folks, they're obviously credible people. Ken May was a longtime executive with FedEx and Topgolf and but what was interesting is like reading then the piece, there was no sense of where money was coming from or who, like, and it was just sort of, hey, wouldn't it be nice to have a small concert place, you know? And
yeah, no, I mean,
so, oh my God. No, yeah.
No, if someone of private means wants to step up and say, I want to invest this in the Mid-South Coliseum to do this, I think people would be very receptive to that. But until that happens, this demand that the public do it, when A, I don't think the public cares, and B, it's going to be a money-losing operation almost certainly to try to run it as a, you know, what it used to be. I just, it all seems a non-starter to me unless someone privately wants to invest money in it.
I found myself, speaking of Charlie Brown and footballs and doing the same thing over and over, I happened to find a piece you wrote in 2017. I don't know what the hell was happening. Oh, it was Graceland. It was Graceland. This was back when we were both at the CA. And you wrote, I wondered if all of this is still true. Okay. This is 6 years later. I'm quoting you. I'm reading you to you. We seem to spend a lot more time talking about where we might host events than we do actually going to events. And if you say that's because we don't have enough events to go to, I'd say it's more about the chicken than that particular egg. The Memphis metro area has lots of venues, as imperfect as some of them are. FedEx Forum, Landers Center, Snowden Grove, Orpheum, Cannon Center. Most of them are empty most of the time. For the most part, more venues won't create more events, only further disperse them. More ticket buying demand will. The city's issue, from the small clubs to major arenas, is more about demographics than venues.
Yeah, I think all that's true. And I also wrote a column about a year ago, I think last fall, late last summer, on the Coliseum and Mud Island. And so, like, you know, I mean, it feels like we're constantly circling around the same stuff. But I think that's generally true. I just don't. I've never seen some indication that OPA trying to make the Midtown Coliseum some variation of what it used to be is going to generate enough use to make it worth doing. If you set aside the nostalgic appeal or the desire to save the building, I've never been persuaded, and I've read studies on it that people have put out. I've never been persuaded there's enough activity to warrant the investment.
Well, and that's the thing.
I'm not the person who has to be persuaded, by the way. Right. Like, other people have not been persuaded, right?
Right, yeah. That's the thing. It would take a significant chunk of money to restore that place to some operable version of itself, and you would then need the activity in the building to pay down that debt and everything else and make money and pay the bills going forward. And so far, at least, there's been no evidence that's possible. Plus, you've got a mayor who's very committed to put a soccer stadium there, and I don't know what's going to happen with that. We shall see. But I was surprised to wake up. I had to check the date. I woke up this morning and saw that piece in the Daily Memphian. I'm like, what in the world?
Well, another point to make, to elaborate on that, not only do you have a mayor who seems to really want to put a soccer stadium there, you also, it's the same mayor who I think would have been very amenable to keeping the Midtown Coliseum. This is not,
absolutely.
I don't think Jim Strickland.
He didn't want to get out there with a sledgehammer. He didn't hate the Mid-South Coliseum. No.
Right. I think he would have been perfectly happy to, like, keep the Mid-South Coliseum and reinvent it if it seemed viable. And I think he has been through this now for two terms, and not to speak for him, but it seems pretty clear to me he doesn't see it as viable.
If they do ever, putting aside the merits of the soccer stadium, if they ever do tear down the Mid-South Coliseum and put the soccer stadium there, I guess from this group of 100 people who desperately want to save the Mid-South Coliseum, Jim at that point will be cast as a villain. I don't think Jim is a villain here in that. I think he was totally open to all kinds of uses for the Mid-South Coliseum. All right, moving on to another topics. John Hollinger, that's the second day in a row I've referenced him, but today he had his top 25 free agent rankings. And there at number 20, Dylan Brooks. He has the board number, because the number that he puts out basically saying how much he thinks their play merits next year, how much they would be worth, putting aside everything else, next year. And the number was $17,746,207, and this is what he wrote. Under any circumstances, really? What about the circumstance where you can't find a starting caliber small forward with your non-taxpayer mid-level exception? The minute Memphis said it wasn't bringing back Brooks, however, he immediately became a hugely interesting free agent for any team with cap space and defensive issues. Coming off a second-team all-defense selection and in the prime of his career at 27, Brooks should be an attractive target for cap room teams such as Houston, Detroit, and Houston, who need a defensive stopper and have the ability to go above the mid-level exception on a multi-year deal. Your thoughts?
I got no quarrel with any of that. I feel like that number he's putting out there is not dissimilar from, it's slightly above what the extension number would have been. And I think a lot of us, myself included, saw the extension number is slightly below what he was going to be willing to sign. So the number there is rational. I suspect he'll get less than that on the market,
right.
But it's not an irrational number. It's rough. It's a ballpark number, I think. And I think he will have, whether it's for a full mid-level or for more than that in some kind of sign-and-trade or just straight, if he signed to Houston or Detroit or a team that's safe. Like I always said, like, Dylan Brooks is going to make a lot of money next season for somebody in the National Basketball Association. People are joking about going to China. No, he's going to make $15 million or $12 million or whatever million it is, in either in the starting lineup or in the rotation for an NBA team next season. It's not going to be the Grizzlies at this point, for better or worse, but that's where it is.
The number evidently, it doesn't take into account age, it doesn't into off the field stuff, off the court stuff, it doesn't, Kyrie's number is the highest number, and it doesn't include that he's a lunatic, right? So he's not going to get that number either, whatever. But the numbers really are only for ranking of who's the best at this point. Okay, the player just above him was on your could he be a Grizzly list? And I was even thinking he was in your more practical second list, and that is Bruce Brown of Denver. And basically what he said about his number was $17,764,642. And what he basically said was virtually every team with mid-level exception money or more will be circling him as a possibility.
Yep. No, and I think the Grizzlies are among the places that would make the most sense for him, but not alone. There are other places that have opportunity there for a player like that. I mean, Cleveland, who could be a Dylan Brooks suitor, now and needs help, you know, in, on the wing, like Memphis does. I mean, I was talking to I was communicating with my friend Matt Berlicka yesterday, who I think is going to have something coming out soon that'll be roughly similar. We have this. We both ended up with Denny Smith and Bruce Brown as who we thought the most likely guys were. And we were talking about how, you know, keep an eye on Phoenix, because if they end up, like, they don't have access to the money to match Grizzlies' offer for Bruce Brown right now. But if they waive and stretch Chris Paul, then they'll have the full mid-level, and like that would be a great situation for Bruce Brown to go there, right? And so there are going to be plenty of teams that would offer him the full mid-level. I don't know if the Grizzlies will be one of them, but I certainly think that's possible. But the question would be, is anyone going to offer him more than that? And that I'm not as sure about. Because the teams that have more to offer are more rebuilding kind of teams. I don't see them putting that kind of money into him.
Ticking through just a few more of the names that were on his top 25 list, who were on either of your lists. I'll go through them real quick. Chris Middleton basically was on your impractical but who knows list, and he said what everyone's saying, which he's likely going to opt out of his deal with Milwaukee and sign a new lower deal with Milwaukee, which makes all the sense in the world, right? Cam Johnson, his number there is north of $26 million, and I think he's restricted, right? And so he does believe he could get really popular, and given their tax issues, I mean, their cap issues or whatever, someone might make things difficult for him, but it's not going to be the Grizzlies, right?
The Grizzlies can only trade for him. Cap space, right. So they would have to get Johnson and Brooklyn into a sign and trade situation.
Right.
And so if someone with cap space, and I think Johnson's young enough that somebody could do this, and the team with actual cap space throws a big offer to him, then that's probably going to close the door on a team like the Grizzlies.
Jeremy Grant, almost everyone seems to believe he's going to go back to Portland, which seems right. Bruce Brown, we've gotten to. Dylan, I talked to.
That's going to be contingent on Damian Lillard going. Damian Lillard.
Yes. That they want.
And that is something to keep an eye on.
I see. The idea is, do they? It is amazing to me. I really respect the fact that he gets trashed for wanting to stay in Portland. I think that's insane. Who knows? Maybe he won't. I don't know. Did you even mention Harrison Barnes? He's more of a power forward. Was he going? He
yes,
wasn't.
I did. I had him in my first column.
His number was $17 million. I didn't write down specifically what he said. I was interested, though, in Dante DiVincenzo. He mentioned there his number was, let's see what he said about Dante DiVincenzo.
Dante DiVincenzo is someone I haven't written about guards.
Yeah.
But at some point I might write about if Tyus Jones gets traded and you have a hole at guard, what are your options there? And Dante DiVincenzo will be more than likely the number one name on my list in that column. He has a small forward. He's a guard.
He's not. I mean, he's not certainly a pure one.
Yeah, but who cares?
It doesn't matter.
I don't. We got to get past this notion that you have to have like a true traditional backup point guard to be John Morant's backup point guard.
Right.
You know who's playing backup point guard for the Denver Nuggets right now in the playoffs? Bruce Brown.
Right. Right. No. I guess the only question would be, given that Ja's going to be gone for whatever 20 games, it still doesn't matter to you that he's not a point guard.
I don't plan my off season around the 20 games or 25 games or 15 games or whatever number of games John Moran is missing.
Right. Okay. No, I get that. I've lost it again. Oh, here we are. Basically, on Dante DiVincenzo, the question is whether anyone values him enough to pay him as a starter with cap space or whether he tops as a mid-level exception signing for about $52 million for 4 years. And with a paucity of teams with cap space and crowded shooting guard market, it's possible he gets squeezed. So he could very well. You trade Tyus to get your wing. You add Dante DiVincenzo on the mid-level.
Yeah, again, my audio is breaking up, but if I got whatever you were saying there, I think DiVincenzo is going to be – I don't think he's going to get more than the mid-level from anybody, but I think he's going to get more than Golden State can pay him. So he's sort of like Bruce Brown in that he's a player who is very likely to move to a new team in free agency this summer.
Right.
He doesn't make sense for the Grizzlies that's currently constituted because they already have Tyus Jones and Luke Kennard. But I think if they ended up moving, frankly, either of those players, we keep talking about moving Tyus Jones, which I think is far more likely. There are scenarios where the Grizzlies move Luke Kennard instead, and now you're looking to replace him. I think in either of those scenarios, if you move one of your guards in a trade and you're looking to use your mid-level exception to sign a guard in free agency, he might be the top of my list.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Have a good weekend. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.